Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, just seriously, if you can help us out. Now, here's what we're going to do again. I told Gary, he's got all nervous and excited. I've never seen it. I just wagged his tail all week is what he did. We took, I sent him down to, him and Kay, down to Branson, Missouri, during the summer. We had there was a conference going on down there, one of these prophecy conferences, and they had me come down and speak, and so they said, you can set up a table and sell your videos. And I'm going, well, we won't sell them, but we'll set up a table. We did set up a big table out there. We probably took 10,000-11,000 DVDs down there and gave them all out. I mean, and Gary and Kay were just going, you know, here's some more. Take these. They're all free. Boy, here they come, you know. But it was just good to be down there. Well, there's another one of these coming up in January. And I told him about it the other day. Boy, I mean, as soon as I said, now, Gary, there's another conference kind of like this one in Branson in Dallas in January. And he jumped right up and started making DVDs. And I come in this morning, there was boxes of blanks down there. He had everybody, Caleb and Matthew and Joel, bringing them up for him. It's a good thing he didn't ask me. And but anyway, what are we planning on? About 15,000? We're planning on distributing and giving away about 15,000 DVDs at this conference in January. And they told us it was first come, first serve, so he's leaving Wednesday. The conference starts Friday morning, did I tell you? And him and Kay are going to leave Wednesday and get down there early so we can get the table and get ready to start giving them out. And that's a blessing. It really is. I got pictures come in the other day of a family. I don't know where they were, but there was one of these small towns that were having some kind of apple harvest festival or something like that. And they had set up a booth at this festival, and they took pictures. They were giving away our DVDs at this booth out there, and appreciated that. And then I got an email from a pastor. I had not met this man, and he didn't know that we were there last summer, but he's in Kenya, and somewhere around Kisii. Kisii is over by Lake Victoria, and I told him that we were probably going to be somewhere in that area around Migori this summer, and he got all excited. But he has a Bible study group that after church on Sunday and then on Wednesday night, his group gathers and they watch our videos out there and, you know, learn from them and everything like that. That's this church. This is what God is doing here. There'll be some people in heaven that you and I have never even thought of that will be there. And they've grown and they've learned to love the Lord because God decided to take some old dirty rat bag, no good for nothing sinners here in Festus, Missouri, and shine his glory through it. Can I get an amen out of somebody on the rat bag dirty sinner part? Amen. Hey, listen, we're made out of dirt. Let's not get proud about that. Amen. Let's just glory in what God has done. Anyways, good to be in God's house this morning. You have a Bible. Amen. Psalm 4. Is that verse that we talked about. You can turn there, and then I'm going to kind of continue us on. I started it last week, and it was just a blessing this morning, and I'm a little bit tired and rugged this morning, a little bit weary, and so I don't have the stamina to go till 1 o'clock today, so we're not going to. How's that? But just some things that I think just good to hear and good to be preached to us every now and then. And we're going to start out in Psalm chapter 4, and this is what gave me the idea for this particular verses or series of messages, is the idea of communing and communicating and being in communion with things. So he said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to just kind of write this down and go study this, all the places in the Bible where it says sin not. That'd be a good study for you. And listen to the Bible when it tells you to sin not. The woman caught in adultery, he forgave her of her sins, and then he said what to her? Go and sin no more. Okay? So stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. Now I've got a little deal on that one probably next Sunday about self-communication. And that you just kind of ponder that for a while, talking to yourself. And I don't mean like crazy people do. But being aware of and communing with your own self. And by the way, you can lie to yourself. You can deceive your own self. So you ought to be careful about that. Standing on sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah is what the Bible says there. That means just ponder this and let's pause and let's think about this. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to look at probably about five scriptures here is what I've got. And I want us to just kind of remember who we are and who we're supposed to be in the Lord, what we're supposed to be a part of and what we're not supposed to be a part of. This will be thus saith the Lord, this, and this will come from God to us, and that way we'll know that it's right. All right, Heavenly Father, I love you this morning, dear God, and Lord Father, you know the weakness that's in me today, and Lord, it's nothing, Lord. It's an honor to preach your word. It's an honor to stand here this morning in front of these people. Lord, I met some good people this weekend and some people, Lord, that I've loved for many years, Brother Noah Hutchings and Brother Larry, Southwest Radio, and all those fine people over there. And I love them dearly. And I thank you, Lord God, for putting them in my life and the testimony that they've had over the years and the fellowship that we've had and the usefulness, Lord, of their ministry and their work. And Lord, I just met some new people, new faces yesterday. God, I was blessed to see those young people. That just really blessed my heart, God. And I just thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just bless them. Lord, that's a big responsibility for me. Is when I see these young people, Lord, listening to what I've got to say. Lord, I don't ever want to let them down. Lord, and I need help with that. God, just help me, Father. Lord, just these people here today, these are my family. These are my friends. And I thank you, Lord, for sending these people here today. I pray, God, that you would encourage them and help them, dear God. Lord, that we've heard sermons like this all of our life, God. We need to hear another one. We probably need to hear another one after that. So, Lord God, would you just instill some things in our heart, God, that need to be said. Some things, dear God, we need to be reminded of. Because, Lord, we are to be separate. We are to be different. Lord, we just need help doing that. Bless your word. Bless and honor your word in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Psalm chapter 64, verse 5. I'd like you to turn your Bibles there. And that really got a hold of me while I was praying a while ago. And I may have a hard time getting over that. There yesterday at the conference, several young people were brought. They came with families, and that just really blessed my heart. There was a boy there. It looked like him and his brother were twins, and one of them just came up to me, and I had my hand out to shake his hand, and he just run, grabbed, bear hugged me, and everything else like that. And if y'all know me, you know, from day to day, Gary and other people know me from day to day. I mean, I usually come in here and go upstairs and hide out all week, and I just do my thing and just study and get things ready and things like that. And I don't often really think and consider whose life I'm impacting or what's being done. I don't think about that very often. And then I see it yesterday in some of these young people, and they just I'm very, very uncomfortable with this, but these kids were looking up to me like, oh, there's Mike Hoggard. Hi. And I'm playing with him. You know, I do the high five thing with him, Linda, high five, stick it way up here. High five. Well, one kid got it. Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Sign him up. But anyway, that's a blessing. And I want to tell you something, and maybe I could just preach this to our young people today. And I want you to listen to your preacher. But moms and dads, our young people are going to learn it they're going to learn it at home. If I'm preaching one thing here, and mom and dad goes home, and then they, by their lives and their activities and their actions, are contradicting what the Word of God is saying in the church service, that child's going to have to make a choice. And they're not dumb. They will make a choice. They'll say, you know what, mom and dad gets away with it, I will too. Or you could say, you know what, I know the Bible's right, and I see what my mom and dad's doing, but that's not right. Now, young people, I want to say this to you. That does not give you the right to rebel against your mom and dad. It does not give you that right. I sat and I watched things that my dad did when I was growing up. And I'm just going to talk to you this morning. I don't feel like preaching a whole lot and being mean and this and that and the other, but I want to talk to you a little bit. One of the biggest regrets that I ever had in life was when I was growing up here, I was Mr. Fundamentalist teenage boy. And I was, boy, King James and right living and didn't do this and do that. I get movies and all this stuff. And I watched my dad. He struggled with, he never drank hard liquor, never saw him drunk, but he used to really drink a lot of beer. And it never that I could tell, never affected him. I never saw him drunk. His personality was the same. The way he treated me was the same. But I knew it was wrong. And I had degraded my dad in my mind down to a pretty low position. By the time I got ready to leave, Bobby, this is what's really interesting. When I quit working for you, just right after that, I went out to school to Oklahoma. You knew I was going to go to Bible college. The Saturday before that I was going to leave on a Sunday, and the Saturday before I left, I had a big fish fry at home, this going away party. And Dad had asked me to go out and move my car, and when I did, I didn't see the post there holding up the carport, and I busted the front fender of this car that my dad gave me. It was a 79 Volare, the thing that only 5 years old, and he just gave me this car to go out to school with. And what that did was opened up a really, really big can of worms that had been sitting there for years at my house. And, it's a very tense, Dad's going, I'm not letting you go. He's going to kill himself out there. Mom's saying, oh, honey, this. And what came out of that was my dad looked at me in his anger, and this had been boiled up in him for a long time. And he looked at me and he said, you despise me because I drink beer. And I stood there with my mouth open about this wide. And I knew I couldn't argue with him. He had called me down on an issue that I felt like, because I was Mr. Churchgoer and was going to Bible college, that I felt like I was better than he was. And he called me down on it. And I want to say to you young people, and I want to say to you kids, you see your mom and dad at home. We don't see them there. We don't see that. You're the one that sees your mom and dad. And I want to tell you something. If your mom and dad, if God has put enough in your mom and dad for them to come to church here, you ought to get out on your knees and tell God thank you. Because either your mom and dad could be out off in the world somewhere doing whatever they want to do, or they could go to some liberal church where they're not going to ever hear. You could be off in the youth group having fun and looking for boyfriends and girlfriends, because that's all they're really interested in, most of these churches. But God brings your mom and dad here, and you ought to be thankful for what God is trying to do in your parents. It took them years to get the way they are, and God is going to spend time bringing them closer to Him. Can I get an amen out of some parents? And don't you ever, even if you amen the message and you think, you know what, this is how it's going to be with my life, don't you dare despise your own mom and dad. That is not right. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. Didn't say that they was going to be perfect. Didn't say that they had to have everything right. It said honor your father and mother. And young people, don't forget that, all right? And here's where you'll get it from. You'll get it from evil communications. And I'm going to preach this morning just to remind us of some things that we need to think about, some things that we need to ponder. Because this idea of communication, I talked last week about, just the communing with, I don't remember what I preached last week, just the communications are out there. And this week I'm going to talk about the topic that I have is communications of others are where sins wait to be discovered. The communications of others are where sins wait to be discovered. A lot of times when children are growing up, parents want to shelter them. They want to keep them from this world. They say, well, you're not going to watch that. My mom wouldn't let me watch Saturday Night Live. Couldn't watch Johnny Carson when I was growing up. Had to go to bed before that because and that stuff is so lame now compared to what's on TV now. It's not even funny. And it really isn't funny because we have gotten so far degraded in our television shows and our viewing and everything like that. It's just disgusting now. If you stop and think what they would not allow on TV back 40 years ago, it's just, Here's Rob Petrie and Laura Petrie on a TV show, and the TV people couldn't even put them in the same bed together, and they were married. That's how it was back in those days. And now, in practically every TV show there is, hardly anybody's married. You ever notice that? Hardly anybody is married in these TV shows, and this is what's being projected to our young people. But sin waits to be discovered by the communications of others or communing with others. Let me read the scripture. Psalm 64, verse 5. Are you there? Say amen. The Bible says they encourage themselves in an evil matter. Now, stop and ponder this for a minute. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily, and they say, who shall see them? Now, I want to ask some moms and dads, some parents, some adults. Were you ever in one of these little situations when you were a teenager, when you were a boy or a girl, where you got hooked in with some other kids and they were doing stuff that were wrong and you knew it was wrong, but it kind of looked good. It kind of looked fun. You liked it, something you wanted to be. And so you went in with that and they told you, don't worry, nobody will ever find out. Nobody will ever see us doing this. Who remembers smoking their first cigarette because a group of kids was somewhere smoking a cigarette somewhere and they invited you in? Anybody here like that? There you go. Okay, first, and there were some boys that, come on now, nobody will know. Nobody will see what you're doing. My sister made the mistake that the neighbor girl talked her into that and said, nobody will see us. And yet they were standing to the side of the house facing the road. And mom and dad's across the street looking out the front door going, you see what she's doing? Wasn't very wise. Needless to say, that was the last one my sister ever picked up. Okay. But anyway, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. Listen to me. Hey, moms and dads, kids, everybody, you listen to this. Who you hang around with is how you're going to act. Now, I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, 40, 20, or 14 years old. Who you hang around is who you're going to act like. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Independently, We've got something in us that says, you know, that's wrong. I'm not supposed to do that. I would never do that. But as soon as we get mixed into a crowd, let's say it's some buddies of yours down at, you got some lodge you go to or some hall that you meet at or the Veterans of Foreign Wars or something like that, any kind of one of these group meetings that you get together and you wouldn't normally think of doing some of the stuff. But when you get with these guys, then they're smoking big cigars and they're drinking beers and little vodkas, things like that. And they're talking about this thing dirty over here, talking about that woman over there. They're talking about all kinds of things. And when you get into the crowd, that's what you become. When you become part of the crowd, you become the crowd. And things that you would not ordinarily do alone and separate, as soon as you start getting hooked in with people, here it comes. Ladies, the same way. You get maybe some of the gals at work. Maybe you're there in the break room and they're talking about this and they're talking about going here and they're things that you would never even think of and never even talk about by yourself or talk about anywhere else. But you get in with a group of other girls and listen, girls are just as bad, if not worse in some cases, than the boys are. Amen. I worked in a nursing home one time and I went into the break room where all these nurses hang out, stuff like that. And you wouldn't believe some of the filth and the garbage I saw in that break room. It was absolutely disgusting what was going on in there. And these were people who were in charge of taking care of old people in a convalescent home. But they get in to be the crowd and get in with the crowd. And we learned this from high school. Whatever crowd you're in high school, that's what you're going to do. Whatever, if you're part of this group over here, that's how you're going to be. You're part of that group over there, that's how you're going to be. And they encourage you in an evil matter. And they commune of laying snares privily. That means there's a communication going, hey, let's talk about, let's do this. Let's go bust up some mailboxes. Let's go do this. Let's go soak somebody's house. Let's go do this. Hey, my dad's got a liquor cabinet. We can get into that thing. And boy, you head over there. You would never normally never do that. But you're hanging with the guys and they're going to the liquor cabinet. And that's exactly where you end up. Or some of you boys, you know that if you go over to such and such's house, you would never be able to get away with this at your own house. But you know that if you go home with such and such at school or somebody down the road, you know if you go in their house, You can look at pornography that they've got in their house that they either got from their dad or they got on their computer. You can go over to their house and look at stuff that you would never get away with looking at your own house, and you know it. And that's why you go down there. You think I just grew up yesterday? It's exactly why you go down. That's exactly why you hang out with the people that you hang out with, because you know that you can get away with stuff in that crowd and in that group. Moms and dads, learn the same issue. Learn the same lesson. And I want everybody to say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. Turn there. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. I want to see some young people this morning. I want to see a show of hands. All right, Garrett, you ready for this one? How many of you young people? Okay? And if you want to be 58 years old and call yourself a young people, knock yourself out. All right? How many of you young people believe in Jesus right now? Raise your hand. Look at you there. Hey, young, applaud these kids. Amen? You're doing the right... Hey, do you know why? Do you know why? Young lady, do you know why you believe in Jesus? Is that your mom sitting next to you? She's why you believe in Jesus. Her dad commune with you. And they brought you to... You didn't walk to church today, did you?
No.
They brought you here to be in a fellowship where everybody in this room believes in Jesus. Say amen. Here's what's going to happen. You sit here, and you sit here in this church. We all believe in Jesus. We all believe in the Bible. We all believe God created the universe in 6 days. Amen. We all believe all that stuff. Got everything common. Here's what happens. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. And they were filled with madness. And what did they do with one another? They commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now, here's what happens. You're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. You go to Sunday school. You get the Sunday school pin. You're proud of all that stuff. Do the Bible memorization. I mean, everything is church, 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 church. You get to be about 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. You start hanging out with people at school that don't go to church anywhere. And mom and dad don't know it, but here's what's going on, is that there's communion going on between your kids and some of these lost, in some cases, atheistic children that your kids are going to school with at public school. They have been raised on a steady diet of Goosebumps, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and Twilight. That's the spiritual diet that those kids have had all their life. They've never been in a Sunday school room ever. Never heard a preacher talk about Jesus other than some stupid televangelist on the TV screen to make fun of him. And they start finding friends at school that starts planting seeds of doubt in their mind. And then they graduate high school. What are they going to do after that? Got to go to college somewhere. I remember I had a buddy of mine, very close friend. We had a lot of things in common. We both played the piano, both played ragtime music. We were both interested in science. I mean, just kind of look alike, talk. We were born like 6 days from each other in the same town in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And then both of us ended up here in Festus. And we were just buddies. His mom and dad went over at Second Baptist over here. And we met each other at Twin City Christian Academy. Went to Christian school together, then went to Festus High School together, and both of us attending church at the same time. We left high school. He went to one university, and I went to Bible college, and I got to meet up with him one time, and we kind of hung out there in Arkansas a little bit because that's where his grandparents were from. And then over time, I'm talking to him, and I hear him, and I noticed that when he went to college, he'd come back, and he had these funny glasses. It didn't look like him. Had his hair different. And then I started listening to him talk. And he said, you know, I don't know if I believe in God anymore or not. He went from being independent Baptist, King James Bible believing, to when he got into college, they had ripped God right out of his life. not just the professors, but the ones he was communing with at school. And I don't know where he stands today on that issue. But if he's not careful, he'll die and go to hell. And I want you to listen to me, young people. You raise your hands. Yes, I believe in Jesus right now. They commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. There is a world out there that hates your God. And when you show up on the scene and say, well, you know what? I was taught to believe the Bible. And they'll scorn you. They'll laugh you. They'll mock you. They'll exclude you. And they'll do everything they can to try to pull God out of your life. That's wicked communication. And moms and dads, if you have not sufficiently inoculated your children against that, you will lose them. Zero doubt about it. You will lose them. Luke chapter 22. You're there in the book of Luke. Turn over to chapter 22. This follows along the same line. Luke 22, verse 4. This is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot went to church, didn't he? He went to church, was a disciple. In verse 4, he went his way and did what with the chief priests? Did the chief priests and the scribes like Jesus? They hated his guts, wanted to see him dead, looking for, hey, you know who they were looking for? They were looking for somebody on the inside that can turn him over to them. And they found one. And they communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Listen, I want you to learn something. Okay, I want you to learn how the world works. This is how the world really works. There are two kinds of people in this earth. Those who are led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and those who are not. That's the only kind of two people there is. There is those who are led by the Holy Spirit and believe the Bible and those who are not led by. And if they're not led by the Holy Spirit, they're led by a devil spirit. Now, I didn't say they had to be possessed. They didn't have to turn their head round around and puke black stuff all over their body. You say, ah, they're possessed. Okay, if that was so, you'd probably stay away from them. Of course, now in today's world, they're the oh, that's cool, do that again. Okay, that's the world that we live in right now. We worship death and we worship evil things. And I want you to listen to me. People who are not saved will be led and controlled by a devil who wants to see you ruined. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mom or dad, or your best friend. I don't care who it is. If they're not saved, they are not led by the same spirit you're led by. And the devil will use them to try to pull you away from this Bible and this faith that we have. How many of you have already had a situation in life where somebody who you love dearly was being used by the devil to try to pull you away? Raise your hand. Look here. Look here. Well, this Bible's right, isn't it? And you can't, listen, you can't shoot these people, so get that out of your head. Can't kill them. What you can do is say, you know what? I'll show up to the family reunion. I'll come by every now and then and say hi. But you cannot, I'm not going to let you talk me into this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, this is biblical. Jesus told us, our Savior told us, unless you love me more than your father, your mother, your son, or your daughter, your brother and sister, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. Listen, hell is too hot and heaven is too beautiful for you to risk having someone communicate the good things that God has done in you back out of you. It's too hot. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there. Almost done. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let me just say it like this, okay? I don't have close friends to me that don't believe the Bible. I mean, I would be a friend to any sinner. I would be a friend to someone who really wanted help, wanted to. That's just my nature. That's how I am. But I don't go seeking after people who don't believe the Bible. I quit going to denominational meetings because I knew those men didn't believe the Bible anymore. I knew it. And I said, you know what? I can't fellowship with this. You guys don't believe the Bible. You say you do, but you're lying. You don't believe what this book says. And I just quit fellowshiping with them. Because you know what my nature is? My nature. And here's why God called me out. My nature is I like to suck up to guys that I think are in leadership and get on their good side. That's my nature. I mean, I am. I just want to get in close with whoever I can get in close to and get their favor. That's me. And God knew that about me, Phil. So God started burning my bridges a long time ago with the denomination. When you have to preach your own ordination service because none of the denominational preachers will show up and preach it for you, that just kind of goes, well, maybe I'm going to have to do this on my own. And God did that to me. And He did it for me. Okay? Because He knew that as long as I was hooked in with them, I would not be standing where I am today. He knew that. And I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, especially when you have a nature like mine. But if you will ask God to help you, He will. And here's what you'll find out. You'll find out, young people and old people, you'll find out that really the only friend you really need is Jesus. And if you lose everybody else in the whole world if they hate your guts, if you still have Jesus, you're all right. I've learned that. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. And I want you to notice, if after the manner of men. Paul wasn't trying to impress men. He wasn't trying to impress crowds. He wasn't trying to impress the religious leaders of his day. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was not looking for their favor. He was not looking for their fellowship and friendship because he had this little insecurity about his life. I'm like Mr. Insecurity. I am. I am eat up with insecurity. The reason why I act the way I act and I have this character about me is to cover up my insecurities. It is. And I'm cool to that. I know what makes me tick. And I like for everybody to like me. But I'm going to say what this book says, and if you don't like that, I'm over it now. So he said, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That is the philosophy of 99.9% of Americans. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Who cares? Blank happens, right? It's vulgar now. But then look at verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications. That's FM communication, AM communication, channel 2, channel 4, channel 5, channel 9, channel 11, channel 30. Channel 208, whatever news channel is, whatever HBO is, whatever MTV is, whatever Nickelodeon is, whatever Lifetime Movie Network is, whatever Soapbox channel is, whatever that is, if it's doing something that's contrary to the Bible, it's evil. It's evil. If two people are in bed and they're not married and they're on your TV, if they're in bed together, they shouldn't be on your TV. That's to be private. That's to be private. Madonna and Britney Spears. I know that's old stuff, Britney Spears. Who is it? Who's hip now? You're not going to tell me, are you? You're not going to say a word. I'm not going to tell you who's hip. Rihanna? Is that her name? Looks like Rihanna to me. I know I probably need to study this more out, just kind of keep up with it, but it gets vulgar after a while and you just get sick of it. People would send me Lady Gaga videos to look at. I'd turn the sound down and just look at the imagery that's in the video. I don't care nothing about listening to that music. You know why? Because some of it I like. I don't care nothing about listening to it because some of it I will end up liking. I'm being dead honest with you. I understand the draw of some of the popular music that's out there now. Because I'll find myself going, you know, that is a really good beat. That is a really good progression here in this. I'm a music guy and I kind of understand that stuff. And I'm going, you know, that's really good. But it's wicked. And it's evil communications. And it's communicating to young people. I kissed a girl and I liked it. That's wicked. That's vulgar. That's lesbianism. That's Romans chapter 1 in a nutshell is what it is. And I want you to ask a question. Young ladies, how many girls at your school do you suspect are both ways? You lost count. Madeline, how many girls at your school that you suspect are both ways? A lot. We're talking about girls now that will be in bed with other girls at 14. How old are you? 14 years old. You think it hadn't worked? You think you can listen to that stuff and it doesn't have an effect on anybody? You're crazy. There's something wrong with you. If you think that we can flood our children's minds with smut, pornography, fornication, lesbianism, sodomy, and everything else, and it not have an effect on them, there's something wrong with you. Not only that, evil communications from friends, coworkers, family members. Evil communications about political issues. Well, down at Union Hall, they told me to vote for Obama. They said he's for the working man. He's gonna raise our Medicare. Well, them other guys, they're going to cut our Medicare. We won't have no medicine. We'll be out in the street if we vote for that guy that doesn't support abortion and sodomite marriage. You don't want me to preach that, do you? That's evil communications when they tell you that somebody who supports sodomite marriage and killing babies everywhere and supporting that garbage and socialism in a free country, there's something wrong with that. Don't vote for them guys. That's evil communication. Well, you know, CNN, you know, they tell the truth. That's evil communication. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You were taught better than that. Some of you people sitting here today, 60 years ago, would have never thought that sodomites would be in every corner of life that they are now. You would have never thought that. Am I telling the truth, Sister Betty? And back 60, 70 years ago, when you were voting for politicians, you just voted this one party. Well, it's different now. And I want to tell you something. And Mitt Romney's not going to save the country either, because all he's all about is finances and banking and getting everybody jobs. That's not going to save the country. Righteousness is what's going to save this country. If we don't get some righteousness in this country, we're going to lose it. And you will lose your Medicare, and you will lose your welfare, and you'll lose your Social Security and your pension. You will lose everything else that you've got if we don't get some righteousness in this country, because God's going to bankrupt this nation. That's good preaching. Even communications are corrupting the good manners of this country. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame, the Bible says. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, then I'm done. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Young people, young ladies, young boys, God bless me. Now, you listen to this now. God bless me. When I was in high school, I dated 1, 2, 3 girls. Three. No, not at once. Two of them were at church here. Two of them went to church here. The third girl went to church, another Baptist church across the way here. And we ended up getting a fight over doctrine. That's why we split up. We got into argument. She said, my pastor said, you're not saved. And we didn't talk very long after that. In fact, we didn't talk at all after that. I mean, for years, we didn't look at each other. God blessed me by giving me a wife, not only of the same mind, but even out of the same church. And I know that's not going to work for everybody. But God gave me a good one. I didn't deserve her. I wasn't looking for her when she showed up, but that's who God said, and that's what I did. And God blessed me with that. And everything that I've had to stand on over the years, my wife has been right there with me, saying, you know what, that is right. When I bought her an NIV Bible, she said, I don't like it. That made me mad. You know why? Because her mom and daddy raised her on King James. And she knew it wasn't right. And when God put that in my heart and in my mind, she was right there with me. I've never had to fight her over any issue doctrinally, ever. I've had to fight her over the toilet seat and can I have $20 and can I, you know, I had to fight her over stuff like that, but not on anything else. And young people, do not yoke yourself together with an unbeliever. I don't care if it's in marriage, college fraternity, unions. I don't care if it's in the lodge. I don't care who it is. Do not yoke yourself together with unbelievers. Believers do not yoke themselves with unbelievers to make them believers. It works the other way every time. Am I telling the truth? Those of you who've been down the road, I'm telling the truth. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You're supposed to be light. And I want to tell you something. Listen to this now. I'll show you how this works. Light and darkness never exist in the same room together. Light and darkness never dwell in the same room together. If the light's off, the darkness will be there. If the light's on, the darkness leaves. You cannot expect to fellowship and commune with unbelievers, people who are in darkness, people who worship idols, people who follow after fornication, people who have to follow the things of the world. You can never expect to commune and fellowship with people that are contrary to what you're being taught right now. Don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, but Mama, if I marry him, he'll start going to church. He promised me he would. And us guys are going, we would have promised you anything. Hey, let us guys tell you how wicked men are. I'm done preaching. We need to hear stuff like that every now and then. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get down on your knees sometime and say, God, am I watching stuff on TV that ain't right? God, am I listening to music? Now, I'm talking to the adults here. I ain't talking to your kids now. I'm talking to you adults. You adults go home and say, God, is this right? Can I watch this? God says, no. Okay, I'll turn it off. God, can I listen to this music? God will say, no. Okay, I'll turn it off. It's pretty simple. God, should I be with this group of guys over here? God will say, yeah, or God will say, no. And you just do what God said. God's watching out after you. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Young people, God's watching out after you. He is. He's watching out after you. He knows the devil. He knows a roaring lion loves to eat little kids. And he's watching out for you guys. Don't turn your back on him. Settle it in your mind. If I have friends, they're going to be Christian friends. If I have a wife or a husband, he's going to be a Christian man. He's going to be a Christian young lady. You settle that in your mind and don't settle for anything less. Can I have some moms and dads say amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. All right. I appreciate you. I appreciate this church. You guys have put up with me. I mean that. I am somebody that has to be put up with. You ask my wife. She has to put up with me. It ain't easy with me sometimes. I get mad at her because I think I'm the best husband in the whole world. Why would you ever be upset with me? Everybody else likes me. She's had to put up with me. She knows who I really am. And I appreciate what you've done today. Appreciate the thoughts. Appreciate the dinner. But is this for everybody, Rose? Is she downstairs? I guess it is. They're down there cooking, so I guess it's for everybody. Yeah. And normally when we have a dinner like this, I always have to ask Jimmy to lead in prayer. That way I know he's not slipping out during the prayer. Bow your heads for a minute. Let's get serious, all right? I want everybody in here thinking. Listen, I know them shows are fun. I know that they're entertaining. If they wouldn't be, they wouldn't be on TV. But it's communicating things to you. And there's no doubt in my mind that your view of the world and how things are didn't come from the Bible. They came from TV. That ain't right. So you just take a minute and ask God, God, is there anything that I need to turn off? What communications are coming into me? Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you, God, for Lord, you're dealing with me today. I know that. And I thank you, dear God, that you've kept me, Lord, out of some pretty rotten stuff. And Lord, I sympathize with these young people. I do know what they go through, and it's worse now than it was when I was their age. And they don't have a chance without you. So please, God, help them. If they're praying right now, if they're praying, God, help me. I don't want to lose what I'm getting today. God, will you help me? God, would you hear their prayer? And these moms and dads and these adults, they're carrying baggage around from years of disobedience. And it's not easy to walk away. God, would you help us all? Please help us all. Deal with us. Use us, God. Forgive us. Clean us up. Pick us up. Thank you, dear God, for helping us today. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. They mean the world to me. Lord God, would you use them and honor them, dear God? Would you glorify yourself in them and through them, God? We can keep be a blessing for you. Bless these ladies, Lord, that have put all this together, and bless our food today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven, that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming, as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word. God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.